When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransom home to bring. That's the believer, and that's the hope of the believer today. Our reading is from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Verses 7 and 8. We're looking at here, the writer of Hebrews is giving us a profile of Jesus Christ. In the first chapter of Hebrews, we learn all about how he's God's Son. He goes on to say, listen to him, listen to him. He is our captain, our leader. Like Moses, he will lead you home to glory. The writer of Hebrews goes on to say, remain faithful to the finish, to the very end. And now we're reading about the profile of Jesus Christ as our high priest. Perfect Jesus, who takes our death and gives us life, eternal life. Verses 7 and 8, talking about Jesus being a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now this is Jesus Christ. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. I must confess here that I lost a lot of sleep last night thinking about this, or this morning I should say, agonising how to put my mind around just how precious our salvation is. How deep into our heart and soul do we take the message of the gospel? The writer here is speaking to the Hebrews and is explaining to them just how precious this is. And they've got a much deeper understanding of the Old Testament laws and sacrifices and the role of the priest than we have today. But the one thing we do know about ourselves today is that we are mere mortals. We are sinners. We are made from the dust of the earth, but we're given a soul. We're given a soul. And Jesus, think about Jesus, who is spirit. Jesus was with God at creation. In the beginning, God. Jesus is God. Can we put our mind around this? That Jesus is God. What is so precious for us to understand and put our minds around today is the fact that Jesus separated himself from God in the flesh. But he remains sinless in the flesh, perfect in the flesh. Yet he suffered terribly in the flesh. He suffered separation from God, his Father, when he took on our sin upon the cross. Sinless Jesus cried out to his Father for help to get through this. This separation from God and God's wrath. I want to take you back to Matthew chapter 26. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is what this passage of Scripture is all about. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed. And as he prayed, he sweated great drops of blood. Now this is Jesus, our God. And he went on, he said, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." This is Jesus in the flesh, separated from God, living on this earth, mixing with sinners in the flesh, being obedient to God. Then he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time he went away and he prayed, "Oh my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." Can you see the obedience that he had to suffer here? And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and he went away and he prayed the third time, saying the same words. I'm sharing with you what's gone through my mind this morning. We haven't started yet. God's Son took for you and me the full force of God's wrath, and we cannot begin to imagine what he took that day. Total separation for 3 hours of darkness. He was hanging on that cross, bearing our sins so that we could be here in joyous comfort this morning, singing these wonderful hymns and enjoying the worship service together. And so he said at the end of that period of time of darkness, "Oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He felt the full force of the wrath of God, total separation from God. This is our salvation that he's buying here for us on the cross. This is the ransom Jesus paid for us, and he paid in full. And now, from here on, from the cross and from the burial, to our perfect high priest, our advocate today. We're down here on this earth worshipping God through Jesus Christ. He's in heaven today before the throne of God, revealing the scars of what he bore on our behalf upon the cross. Before the very throne of God. That's how precious we are to Jesus Christ, our Saviour. That's why he went to the cross. In Hebrews 5, verses 7 and 8, we've read in Hebrews the reality of Christ's humanity. Made like his brethren, made like us. He grew hair, he cried, he bled, he was tempted. Partaking of flesh and blood as we are, being tempted as we are. He was surrounded in flesh with all its weaknesses. And don't we know it? And don't we know it? This shows the depth of humiliation that Jesus, the Son of God, stooped to in order to become our great high priest so that he could lead us into all of the glories of heaven. Our Lord was being prepared for his high priestly ministry during his days of suffering and temptation, of the days of his ministry here on this earth, mixing with sinners, seeing their blindness, teaching them, telling them day in and day out. Verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. In these verses, we go with Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane, and the mystery of his agony in that garden as he prayed to God, "Take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will be done." This was the last stage in the preparation and the perfecting of our high priest for the work that he came to do. We see here in this small passage of Scripture the weakness of the flesh. At the beginning of that verse, who in the days of his flesh, this flesh is our human nature in its fallen state. When Jesus said in Matthew 6:41, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation, he spoke from personal experience. He knew that it was not enough just to have a right purpose or intention, as the rest of the disciples had that night. They intended to pray. They had the best intentions. But that the weakness of the flesh had to be upheld, had to be overcome by power received from prayer from above. Or it could easily enter into temptation and become sin, as it did that night. Peter, couldn't you watch and pray with me 1 hour? I was asleep. I was drifting away. Peter is the example given to us here, because Peter, in his weakness of the flesh, he slept instead of praying. And then later, it was Jesus who denied Christ 3 times before the rooster crowed. He ran away in shame. Jesus in the flesh had gained the strength to surrender his will fully to the Father. And he's asking us as our captain, as our leader, to follow suit. Heaven is our end. We need to keep that in mind. He surrendered to his Father's will, and to accept his Father's will and assurance that he would be saved and he would be raised out of it. He's now facing, in Gethsemane, he was facing the cross. He knew what was ahead of him, that he was going to hang there and die, and he was going to be put into a tomb. And he accepted his Father's will, that if he went through with this, his Father assured him that he would raise him from the dead. There was only one other man that I can see in the Scriptures that came close to this. Do you remember Abraham and Isaac, when God asked Abraham to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice? And he took Isaac and he ventured off to a far place. And Isaac helped him build an altar. Imagine what was going through Abraham's heart and mind as he prepared. Son said, and we have no offering, Father. That will be supplied, son, he said. Stretched his son out on the altar and was about to kill him. Now, a lot of people might have trouble coming to terms with that passage of Scripture. But doesn't it give us a picture of what God has done for us? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is the preciousness of our salvation. Abraham was never going to go through with what he'd been asked to. God had it all in hand. He raised the knife, they said, stop. And there in a thicket beside the boy beside the altar was a ram caught by its horn. There was the sacrifice. This is the Son of God on our behalf in the flesh, learning obedience through suffering. And that's why we're here today. Gethsemane was the training ground where our high priest, in the flesh of man, learned his last and most difficult lesson of obedience through what he had to suffer. Look at verse 8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. What a picture of Christ the writer of Hebrews is giving us today. As the Son of God from heaven. Think about it. As the Son of God, who was with God at creation, stood up in a boat and calmed the storm, made the blind to see, the lame to walk, raised them from the dead. Remember Lazarus, called out of the tomb. How could he learn obedience? How could he learn obedience? Well, we have to go back and we have to think about this for a moment. So fully did Jesus empty himself of his life in glory when he came to this earth as a baby. He emptied himself of all his godly privileges. So complete was his partaking of human flesh that he had to learn obedience. He had to give up absolutely all that God had asked of him to his death on the cross. And for what purpose? That purpose is you and me here today. He overcame all that is contrary to God and accepted fully God's will. A sacrifice had to be made. The wages of sin is death. All his life, Jesus had to meet with temptation and overcome it. He had to withstand the scoffing and the ridicule. Remember in the wilderness, we went out and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Who was the first on the scene? The devil. The devil. This power to overcome increased, and in Gethsemane and his trial and his obedience, it reached its consummation. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus learned and Jesus suffered. Suffering, of course, really, when you think about it, is unnatural in creation. There was to be no suffering. Suffering is the fruit of sin, by the sweat of the brow, by pain and suffering, suffering in childbirth. Suffering is the fruit of sin. And in the flesh, God has made us with the capacity and the power of happiness. And it is natural for us and for Jesus to flee suffering. To flee suffering. We don't want it. It wasn't part of our original makeup. To flee suffering is not a sin. But when God would have us to submit and to suffer and we refuse, then it is sinful. And this was the temptation of the power of darkness for Jesus that night in Gethsemane. Take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. In Gethsemane. The temptation was for Jesus to refuse the cup, to refuse the cup. The shame and the suffering. But he took that cup. And that cup was the cost of our sins. But with prayer and supplication and with strong crying and tears, Jesus maintained his allegiance to God's will. In sweating of great drops of blood, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. His deepest suffering taught him the highest lesson of obedience when he yielded up his will and his life to God. His obedience was complete and he himself was perfected forevermore by the hand of God. And as our high priest knows the weakness of the flesh, Jesus knows the weakness of the flesh and what it costs to conquer it. Also, just how weak we are in trying to conquer it. And today, in heaven, he sympathises with our weaknesses. He's bearing gently with the weak and the straying ones. Bearing gently with the weak and the straying ones. Remember these words? Come to me, all you who labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, the Old Testament law pointed us to something better, the perfection of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And I want to close with a reading from John's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning at verse 9, where Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Remember the 23rd Psalm? The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. In verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. That is, we know him as our Saviour. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd in heaven. Isn't that beautiful? Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I've received from my Father. Amen.